alive, cause I thrive. I might just blow your mind tonight. I'm so hyped, but it's no hype. From this height, it's direct hits on sight. I'm your type, lend me your ears to show you that there's something in me. I'm not giving up, I'm standing right here, holding these days hostage, and I'll make this my year. We turning fear into love, and the love's in the air. I love doing this cause nothing compares, nothing can share that same type of feeling when you feeling them flares. They can't catch it, it's havoc. I rip to a tear, switch the scenario, my stereos, I leave them impaired. Variables start to change, and they're all in my range. I just gotta grab it, it's all mathematics. Every step is drastic, I make it fantastic. I'm trying to take your breath away, asthmatic.
This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo. This is live through the stereo. Go and let it blow, blow through the stereo. I'ma let them know, no through the stereo. Yo, here we go, go through the stereo, stereo.
Yeah. Just nod your head with it, so explicit and vivid. Every image is intricate, intimate. I put my all into it, no scrimmage and no rules. I'm a pro tool, hear my heartbeat beat into the vocals. I'm so loco, lost my mind, oh no. It's ponderoso, dope so, no overdose cause it's dope. Yo man, this is house grown, mixed with some milestones. So I let the style flow, down like the Dow Jones. Bringing it with some foul tones, letting the crowd know we getting loud, so it's eardrum rudiments. Yeah, we bring it rude again. Move, little hooligan. Music for tuning in. Full time to the 10. I'm on my clock, like I told you. I'm doing this for dreams we pursuing.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Anti Media Radio Show. Once again, with your host, Nick Burnaby, here on UCY.TV. Thank you all for tuning in and welcome back. We're really happy to be back with you. Sorry we missed on Monday. We were out celebrating Firework Day, which is what I've come to call it as of late, because it's kind of tough to celebrate freedom, especially on a day like today when you got a guy being gunned down by the cops while he was basically on the floor already, and point blank range. I mean, just some really nasty things going on in the United States. Wouldn't be fair to go around calling Independence Day anymore. Anyway, we're going to talk about more about that. First, I want to introduce my panel. I've got an awesome guest in the studio tonight, Manny Aguilar. What's up, Manny?
What's up, Nick? Doing okay. Just turned 56, June 25th. And the person from the Anti-Media that called me and put a message up there with DV Sharks. Appreciate it, DV. But it's okay. I still love you, Claire. Still love you, Jay, and all that. Big holler to you. And so it was rough, as far as my birthday was concerned, it was good, but it's been a rough week because, July 2nd, it's been 29 years since my mom got killed by a drunk driver. It's hard to believe it's been 29 years. It really has, you know. And so, Nick, I'll have something to talk about the veterans and the Dreamer song later when you tell me and give me a green light, okay? In the meantime, salute with some Pacificos here and all that good stuff. And I'm keeping, don't worry about it, guys. I'm keeping Nick in check, okay? All right.
yeah, that's right. We maybe have a little interruption here because there was just a major accident just outside the studio. And
big time.
There's probably going to be some sirens and stuff. So ignore that if you guys hear it. I'll try to mute my end of the things. And hopefully someone else could carry the conversation when that happens. Anyway.
Close your window. Turn the AC on, cheapskate.
Well, we already got the windows closed, but since summer has failed to arrive here in San Diego, it's like 65 degrees, so we don't need the AC.
Oh, never mind.
We've got an awesome panel. We got DB Schwartz, my longtime co-host. What's up, man?
Hey, just like you, dude, seeing the erosion of law and order and transparency and responsibility all in the same day and two pretty key events, dude, and I don't know what it's going to take for people to storm the gate, so to speak, but something's got to break sometime.
Yeah, well, you're right about that, So what's up, Claire?
Hello. How you doing?
Awesome, awesome. Me and Manny are just hanging out here having a couple beers, talking about world events and things going on. We're going to this we're going down to Mexico tomorrow to go to this press conference. We're going to talk about that a little later on the show. What's on your mind, Claire?
Wish I was there.
Well, soon. You'll be visiting soon, right?
Yes, definitely.
Awesome.
This has been a crazy day of news, like a news overload.
So many things happening. I mean, just the continuous fallout from Hillary Clinton, and you know this guy that got gunned down by the name of Alton Sterling over in Baton Rouge, I guess Louisiana. The videos, you know, the initial video that came out was kind of couldn't see that well what was going on there and kind of turned away a few times. But, you know, the cops initially claimed that the guy had a gun, but from the videos I saw, I don't see any gun. Anybody else? Did you guys see a gun? I didn't see anything.
I didn't see a gun.
The gun was in his pocket. Like, they said that they found it afterwards. So the gun was in his pocket, but the store owner or storekeeper who was there at the time saw the incident and said that he never reached for that gun. His hand was never going towards his pocket or anything else. So the controversy is that perhaps the other cop found the gun, freaked out, just because he felt it in the guy's pocket, and said, gun, 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 and then you have an execution.
Yeah, basically is what happened, an execution, more or less. And this has become kind of a familiar thing in the United States. We've continuously seen these kind of actions. In fact, wasn't today like the anniversary of the, what was his name, the Kelly Thomas shooting, or the Kelly Thomas beating, I think happened today a couple years ago as well. So this is kind of becoming a regular thing where the cops kind of just gun people down or beat people to death, and for the most part with impunity, and they're hardly ever punished. And you know, we've also got some of the highest politicians in the land kind of doing a bunch of illegal things, and they're not punished either. But you know, the average person walking on the street does any little thing that could be perceived as against the law, like, I don't know, selling CDs outside of a liquor store or whatever that guy was doing, without a permit or whatever the reason was, or because maybe loitering or whatever it was, whatever the reason was why the cops showed up in the first place. Mm-hmm. You know, you can be judged and executed on the spot. That's just ridiculous. But you commit like high crimes, federal crimes and things like that, and it's like, no, you could actually run for president when you do that. It's like, wait, where is the disconnect here? There's something missing, right? Some part of the story that we're not being told. Like, why is this happening? Yeah. This is what blows my mind. It's a complete two-tiered, you know, justice system where the average guy gets the harshest penalty, including execution, for the most minor shit. And you, if you're well connected or rich or, you know, politically connected, you can get away with federal crimes and, you know, really perjury and horrible things like that, and nothing.
Yeah. Well, you know, Nick, the cops are so out of control right now that last night I was looking at this poor businessman that's a Muslim getting beaten up by the cops because a hotel clerk called the cops saying that this man was talking this language and he probably was talking to ISIS. Damn, so that Muslim man was talking his language and he's a businessman. They think he's ISIS because he's talking that language. So I made a comment, what if I was talking to Spanish? Would this hotel clerk call La Migra on me for speaking Spanish?
Well, they might have thought you were calling in their buddies to come take their jobs.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. You're right. You know, like, what's up with that? You know, so.
Yeah, man, we've come. The prejudice in the United States is reaching a fever pitch for several reasons. I mean, these terror attacks that are going on, the most recent one in Orlando, the San Bernardino shootings, you know, there's those things. And then you got Trump kind of being a lightning rod for this kind of, you know, intolerant rhetoric or whatever you want to call it. But it's not, I don't think it's creating more racist so much as it's actually just emboldening people that are already, you know, intolerant or xenophobic, yeah, or just afraid of other people or afraid of brown people or afraid of black people. This case with Alton Sterling, I mean, I'm an admin on this one page that's about gun rights, and I shared one of Claire's articles today about how Obama's drone program is actually responsible for more, up to 500% more deaths than mass shootings are when it comes to innocent civilians. And I was looking at the page after I posted it, and there was a meme on there about Alton Sterling, and I'm not even kidding, man. A lot of the people on this gun rights page were basically saying, well, that's what he gets. Those kind of people are always the ones causing problems and then never taking responsibility. It's like, wait, are you guys not going to wait for any evidence or any kind of anything to come about before you just rush to judgment and say, you know what? Because he was black and because he was shot by the cops, well, he probably deserved it. Like, people are literally jumping to these conclusions, man. I mean, the intolerance in the United States it's really reached a fever pitch. And I really don't know how to diffuse all of this tension that's building. I mean, it's not looking very good in many aspects of society right now. I mean, I want to know what you guys think. First, I want to go back to Claire, because I kind of referenced your article there. I mean, what do you make of this just gross intolerance that's consuming the United States?
It makes sense right now. We're in a time where there's such gross economic stratification and everything else. I mean, people are literally just kind of slaving away to get by, to afford, you know, the bare minimum that they possibly can. And when you're in a situation where you're just barely surviving, you want to be able to blame something because you know it's not your fault. So they're blaming, you know, the wrong groups, the wrong people. Instead of blaming the government that's responsible for the situation, they're blaming who the government wants them to blame, you know, which is anybody who is not, you know, basically white. For the most part, I mean, anybody, it's not entirely
not
true.
Them,
but for the most
basically.
Part,
the government is happy when you blame anybody that's not them.
Well, and you also have like the blaming of the two political parties right now, and these two incredibly contentious candidates, who people are already divided on politics. These people make it worse. I mean, you're right about. I mean, we're reaching a boiling point. It's becoming really ridiculous how. Actually, I was speaking with a friend of mine recently, and we were discussing how it seems that everybody wants to fight about everything. Like, you could post a picture of a kitten, and somebody would have something nasty to say about it right now. I mean, the intolerance and the anger and the ire is just, it's intolerable right now. It's horrible.
Very true, Claire.
It's crazy. It really is.
How much of it's just completely pure manufactured garbage of trolls sitting inside office buildings all day, too?
I'm sure it's a big part of it.
I don't think a lot of it's organic. I mean, half the time I talk to people, they don't even know what's going on enough to form a strong opinion.
That's true, man. And then you got all these keyboard warriors and stuff that sit there behind their computer acting like they're big and bad. And, you know, I can name a few of them offhand, but I don't want to give them any credibility. But, you know, a bunch of keyboard warriors that literally talk shit literally just to get a reaction out of people. I mean, if these people were in real life on the street, they'd be getting fists put in their mouth pretty quickly. But online is a different story, and you know the fact of the matter is that our online presence is reshaping our reality, for better or for worse. And you know, on the internet has been such a great tool for activists and information freedom and things, spreading information. You know, WikiLeaks and Snowden and Chelsea Manning, who you know was in the hospitalized today. We're not completely sure why, but reports of attempted suicide. But
About Guccifer?
Yeah, Guccifer. you know, plenty of good examples of internet freedom, but also these bad ideas, you know, xenophobia and these kind of hyper-nationalistic ideas that haven't really been seen much in this strong of a sense in the Western world since kind of World War II, I think. Those ideas are also gaining traction, especially now thanks to the internet too. And so these are things to be very, very aware of as we move forward here, because we have to be really careful about how we proceed. These coming months are going to be very, very volatile, especially if, what is probably now what I'm seeing will probably happen with judging by the media coverage and stuff is, you know, Hillary Clinton, you know, quote unquote, stealing the election, whether she actually wins it with the help that she's getting from the media or whether it's stolen from Trump. This is going to be a very, very volatile situation with all these gun owning Trump supporters. out there that are going to be really pretty much ripe for the something to kind of set them off. I mean, it's a powder keg is here now, and it's just waiting for the spark to set it off. And I think people who are aware of what's going on and understand that this is kind of the situation that we have coming. I mean, who knows? Maybe it'll just simmer down after the election and nothing major happens. Maybe a few riots here and there, nothing huge. But on the other hand, we could see some pretty widespread things going on, whether they're rioting or unrest of some sort happening. We need to be aware of it, and you gotta, people listening, people that are aware of the situation should be kind of at least prepared in one way or another, prepared to deal with it. That way that, people that are like thinking with common sense and aren't being caught up in all these herd mentalities can kind of be the, sober voices of reason when all this chaos hits. And maybe that'll make a difference. I want to bring in Jake Anderson, because, we talk about this internet stuff all the time and the potential of it and how it can affect us. I mean, what do you make of this phenomenon? Have you been seeing this, all this kind of divisiveness now, especially with this shooting that we found out about earlier today?
Yeah, it's so palpable for me that I've actually had to pull back from Facebook and use it mostly for business and, blogging, pushing certain blog posts out. The interpersonal warfare I'm starting to notice has definitely accelerated to the point where I really don't feel comfortable posting anything anymore, because, it's not even about, I don't care if someone disagrees with me, but it's like not even about conversation anymore. It's just kind of this emotional Rorschach test that goes on every time you post something. And I don't need that in my life. So I've pulled back a lot. I definitely applaud those of you who continue to fight. I guess it's best just to post and then pull back and only respond to the intelligent replies. But yeah, I think people are just angry and they don't have a clear direction on where to go with it. There's no clear enemy. There's no clear solution. There's no clear problem, really. There's just this kind of sense that we live in a democracy. It's not really free. And as far as, Hillary Clinton and what went down there, I don't think anyone was surprised by what happened. But I think Edward Snowden's tweet was pretty, telling. He said, break classification rules for the public's benefit and you could be exiled. Do it for personal benefit and you could be president. And he just kind of sums up there how, we definitely have a different strata of law and order in the country. And, Hillary Clinton is above us. She can do things that we can't do. And that's a tiered citizenry that is not democratic.
Yeah, and
it's funny what happens when you can afford assassins, huh?
Speaking of which, my buddy just pointed out that Julian Assange is now coming out and saying that the U.S. intelligence community is openly threatening WikiLeaks members now. Anyone associated with WikiLeaks is now being threatened with being killed. So, yeah, assassinations for sure.
Oh. Seriously?
Yeah, I didn't read the exact articles. That's a very unvetted source, but I'm sure it's... I'm sure that's been going on from the beginning, but now you have Assange, threatening to release these emails related to Hillary, which, could not only indict Hillary, but now it would indict the entire Justice Department. And whoever looked at this case, now if he released something even bigger than what's been released, you're talking about chaos, because... who knows? I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to scare him.
Well,
said he has a thermonuclear device. that's a euphemism for he has some kind of encrypted file that, if he were to die, would be released. And that's what pretty much is what has kept him alive, from my understanding. So God knows what's contained in that thermonuclear encrypted data.
Well, Jay, can you imagine now Hillary getting away with this? Can you imagine what she's going to get away if she becomes president?
Yeah, mass murder, continued mass murder, that's for sure, at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, she's emboldened by this thing, and you know, she feels untouchable, I would imagine. I mean, if I got away with stuff like that, I would feel like I would not be have to be held accountable. I mean, you could probably make the case that now she's suffering from influenza, so if she, even if she were to get, you know, do something and they did find her criminally, you know, responsible, they'd say, well, we can't punish her, though, because, you know, she's never been used to having any consequences, so we can't exactly punish her because she has influenza.
Nick, it's been proven if you have more money than other people, you're a more valuable member of society.
Apparently, right? So, I mean, I don't know where to go with this. First off, the shooting of this guy down in Louisiana, Alton Sterling, horrible, horrible case of just, I mean, the guy was trying to sell CDs, man. Come on. For the person who called the cops on him, I hope you feel guilty as hell. I hope the person that called the cops on a man for trying to sell CDs feels guilty.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like the, who was the guy in Ohio that was like, got shot in Walmart for carrying a BB gun?
John Crawford,
just like that case, whoever called the cops on that guy, you know, I hope that you can't sleep at night, you know, because at this point in society, knowing we just covered the story yesterday on the anti-media, the cops already killed at least 500 people this year that we know of. At this point, if you're calling the cops on someone when it's not like a life-threatening situation and it's just some guy selling CDs outside or some kid with a BB gun, I mean, don't call the cops. I mean, just don't, because the cops are no longer equipped in the United States. Like, maybe, you know, a long time ago, maybe we did used to have peace officers, but now we've got militarized thugs that go around and are trigger happy and are, you know,
paranoid.
They're paranoid. They get mad. They're egocentric. They get mad at anyone that challenges their authority. I mean, I've had several run-ins with law enforcement officers like this. One of them at a DHS checkpoint where the guy literally tried to provoke me into punching him. And fortunately for me, I have a really calm temper and I was really relaxed and calm about it. But the dude was trying, like, he put his finger in my chest and, like, he was trying to get me to do something. And luckily I was just like, whoa, dude, like, just chill out, man. I'm not going to, you know, he's like, you need to calm down. I'm like, what? I was literally like so calm that I was like almost laughing because I couldn't understand what this guy was, what his trip was. But the whole thing was because I was challenging him. I told him I didn't want him to search my car, and I told him that they searched my car anyway. And I told him, like, look, man, like, what you're doing here is very, very similar to what they used to do in Nazi Germany when they were checking people's papers and stuff. This is not American, bro. This is Nazi-like. And it's like, I'm just letting you know. Like, I know you're about to search my car, but I'm letting you know that it's wrong and you shouldn't be doing it. And then he got in my face and he tried, and that's when he told me, was telling me to calm down and, you know, got in my face, trying to get me to provoke him. Dude, these cops out there, I mean, there's probably a good amount of decent cops that aren't assholes and stuff, but there's just too many that are to risk it. You can't be calling the cops over stupid shit like a guy selling a CD or some dude selling cigarettes out of his pack. I mean, that.
We've got to change who's attracted to these jobs, both cops and politicians, dude, and make it so that, you know, I mean, in China, not a great example, but they execute politicians all the time for graft. I'm not saying to take it to that level, but I mean, if we're not going to even follow our own laws, what the hell's the point? I mean, now with this Hillary Clinton whole lack of an indictment, unless they go over after the foundation, it was all smoke and mirrors, and now law doesn't exist.
It doesn't. And, you know, the thing that really gets me, and I guess we're going to shift into this Clinton thing because Claire has a great article on some of the stuff that went down. But first I want to bring one thing up, and I made a post about this. And we had a post on the anti-media as well that we aggregated from a great writer by the name of Eric Zeus. I'm going to pull that up right now. The title of it is Here Are the Six Crimes That Hillary Clinton Should Have Been Charged With. But basically, I mean, the listening to this FBI guy, and first of all, I feel like this FBI guy was like based on his statement, like, he was basically telling us, look, she broke the law and stuff, but my hands are tied and I'm not allowed to, like, do anything about it. But, you know, she did mess up big time. And that's what I really got from his statement. But the thing that really struck me was that they basically rewrote the law to say that, well, she's not going to be charged because she didn't do it with like criminal intent. And that kind of flies in the face of everything that Western law is like underwritten by, which is that ignorance of the law doesn't mean that you're immune from it. Mm-hmm. And so anybody, and I made the post yesterday on my Facebook, on my own profile, saying that, well, if I was drinking and I went and got in my car, and let's say that I assumed that I wasn't over the legal limit, but I got pulled over and they found out that I was. Well, if I was Hillary Clinton, I could make the case that, well, because I didn't know that I was over the legal limit, well, then I'm not guilty because, you know, I was ignorant of the law, and therefore I'm not guilty because I didn't drive drunk intentionally. I just happened to be drunk and I didn't think I was, you know. And even that, like, because I don't think Hillary Clinton is, like, ignorant of the law. I think she knew damn well what she was doing. But even let's give her the benefit of the doubt that she didn't. That is no excuse to break federal laws. I mean, you're still supposed to be held accountable whether you know it or not. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's plenty of people out there that are ignorant of the law all the time that get in trouble and they go to jail and they go to prison. And a lot of them have not shown criminal intent. In fact, on the anti-media, we covered this guy that was in the Navy and he did almost identical stuff to what Clinton did. And he had, you know, classified documents on his personal computer and he took it home with him. He didn't share it with anybody. He didn't show any intent to sell it to any foreign governments or anything. He literally just had classified information on his computer and he took it home and he stored it improperly. And this guy was charged. And, you know, he was charged and he's never allowed to hold see classified stuff again. He got fined. I mean, he's never going to be working for the government again. And, you know, even if, you know, Clinton doesn't go to jail, I mean, at the very least, she should be held to the same standard that this guy who was just like an entry-level sailor in the Navy was held to. But no, I mean, apparently when you're a politician or an elected official who we're supposed to have more, you know, they're supposed to be more trustworthy. They're supposed to be like have better or greater principles than the average, you know, member of the public. Well, why else are they, you know, telling us what to do? They're not held to as high of a standard as the regular working class American is, and that's just crazy. It's insane. Sure. It's ridiculous. But besides that, I mean, she broke some really serious laws. And Claire, you wrote a great article today that was our top story of the day. That basically, in the FBI's admission, and again, this goes back to what I was saying regarding the FBI director James Comey, is that in his statement, I think he kind of was incriminating her, but like he wasn't allowed to officially, you know, file or recommend charges, but he really was incriminating her. And Claire, you actually covered this and it was a great catch. Tell us a little bit about how Hillary Clinton committed perjury.
Well, I mean, I think that a lot of people by now have seen, there's been a few videos that have kind of compared what Comey said with what Hillary has said in the past. I mean, there were a number of things that she just flat lied about, which is no surprise because that's her record. But as far as perjury goes, she gave testimony to the Benghazi committee that was very specific. No ambiguity about, like, if she was being kind of foggy on the details or anything like that. She made some very startling statements, such as that she turned over every work-related email, and she was pressed on that to, you know, to find out if she really did turn over every work-related email, and she said that she did. I mean, just flat out, yes, I did. And when Comey went through the statement from the FBI, they discovered several thousand work-related emails that were not in the group of 30,000 that were turned over for examination. So, I mean, right there, that's one. And that's perjury because this testimony for the Benghazi committee was in front of Congress. So she's under oath for this when she said these things. She also said that her lawyers, in ferreting out which emails were actually work-related and which were personal, that they went through and basically looked directly, physically, at every single email. She says they also went through every single email, like they literally examined every email, and that, of course, was not true either. Comey said that the lawyers had this kind of sorting procedure and a search and sort procedure, but they did not physically go through each email at all, and they missed some. So she lied about that as well, even though she was very confident about it. So that's like a second perjury. She also said very specifically there was nothing marked classified on any of my emails either sent or received. And that, which probably is the most egregious of the perjury errors, they found evidence that there were properly classified, marked U.S. intelligence community emails that went back and forth on that server. So, I mean, that's 3 counts of perjury, which could bring a fine of $100,000 or 5 years in prison, and yet, you know, of course, it's no big deal because it's Hillary Clinton.
So, 20 years in prison?
Claire, so in her testimony over the weekend, she was under oath? Because I read something that said that she was not under oath this weekend.
No, this was, I'm not sure about that. This was from the Benghazi committee at the end of last year.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, egregious crimes here. Perjury is not to be taken lightly.
No. And then, of course, you know, the FBI doesn't recommend the charges despite, like, not only these 3 instances of perjury, but everything else that she lied about. And then the DOJ is of course, like, well, we'll take your advice and we're just not going to charge her. I mean, it's the most absurd miscarriage of justice. We might as well all say that we're Hillary Clinton every time we get pulled over, because then maybe we get out of a bunch of tickets.
It's like, hey, I believe I'm Hillary Clinton. I'm not, like, purposely saying I'm Hillary Clinton by lying. I actually believe that. So, therefore, I'm not guilty. So, a couple other things, just a couple other tidbits I want to pull out of this Hillary Clinton thing, because this thing is big, and then I want to move on because I'm tired of talking about Hillary Clinton. Because as Manny said, man, I talk about Hillary Clinton too often. I really do, but I can't stand her, dude. I really can't. But the other thing that came out of what James Comey said is how the one thing that really stuck out is that he said it's not to say that in the same situation anyone else wouldn't be held accountable for what's happening. It's like, wait, so anybody else would have been held accountable but Hillary Clinton won't be? That blew me away, dude. I was just like, whoa, Jesus, dude. Oh my God, that's crazy. Oh man. There was something else I wanted to bring up here, but I just can't remember.
Well, one of the things that I was kind of thinking, just for the hell of it, I was wondering if that FBI director might be afraid for his life if he went ahead and did what he really wanted to do.
I wouldn't.
That's the rumor.
Yeah.
Oh, without doubt. I mean, if that guy had just come out and said they were going to charge her, I mean, yeah, there's no question. I mean.
Horrible. Well, that's going to be our next president, though, so we can be looking forward to that.
We're going to Costa Rica.
Yeah. You know, yes. quick hit on another article you wrote, Claire, because this one is kind of applicable here, because if Hillary Clinton winds up being the next president, we can pretty much count on her to expand on Obama's drone wars. And as I briefly mentioned earlier in the show, Obama's drone war, drone killings of civilians, the number officially came out just a couple days, I think, what was it, on the day before 4th of July. They kind of put it out there so that no one would see it on a, you know, strategic time at the end of the day. But officially, the Obama administration claims that it's killed between 64 and 116 civilians between 2009 and 2015, which is pretty much a laughable number. Nobody believes that shit. Nobody believes that shit. Every single independent estimate of the killings is much higher. And I mean, the numbers of bombs that we dropped in the Middle East last year was it 23,000 bombs, right? And to think that we dropped 23,000 bombs and only killed between 64 and 116 civilians, that just sounds a little fishy. But independent experts claim there's at least 200, as many as 1,000, and I would say that it's probably a lot higher than that. But the story that you wrote today, Claire, regarding how, you know, there's this huge fuss about mass shootings, and don't get me wrong, mass shootings are horrible, and something needs to be done about violence in the United States. I don't think taking away guns is the way to do it, but something's got to be done. But it's pretty hypocritical for the leaders of the United States, and in particular these dipshits that were sitting in the congressional floor trying to pass some kind of new bill that was going to infringe not only on the Second Amendment but on the Fifth. They're sitting there and saying, hey, we got to do something about all this violence. Well, they turn a blind eye to Obama's drone war and to the foreign policy that indiscriminately bombs people around the world. I mean, 1,000 innocent civilians killed by the drone war when 218 have been killed in mass shootings since 1984. I mean, the drone war has only been going on since 2009 under Obama. So, I mean, this is like way more people being killed by our foreign policy, innocent civilians around the world, and then you got the blowback from these drone killings in the form of terrorism coming and blowing up people here in the United States, and then they say, oh, well, let's take away the guns. Yeah. Wait, why don't we address the reason why people are coming over here to blow people up in the United States or shoot people in the United States? It's because we're killing 1,000 innocent civilians by drones. You know, and nobody puts two and two together, and everyone's just so the government and the media, it's so reactionary. I can't tell you how many media outlets and celebrities and politicians are now saying, hey, let's take away the guns. The latest one was who's the guy from the Bourne Identity? Matt Damon?
Matt
Damon. We need to do what Australia did and just ban guns. Dude, all your movies are about like shooting people and stuff, and you expect people to not get guns and go shoot people? It's like so hypocritical, man. I want to slap the guy. And normally he's actually he says a lot of good stuff on activism and human rights and stuff like that. But on this, he's like totally wrong. But it's just so hypocritical for these people to sit there, turn a blind eye to our foreign policy, which takes the lives of, you know, I would say under Obama, I don't know, 500,000 civilians. Ever since 9/11, there's been estimates between 1 and 4 million people dead in Iraq and the surrounding area. A lot of people, a lot. And we've got 218 people dead from mass shootings. That's a lot too, but it's dwarfed by the amount of people killed by our foreign policy. And none of the politicians want to address it. Nobody talks about it. The media is like, everybody ignores it. Everybody wants to take away guns instead. And to me, it's just hypocritical. It's just mind-boggling. But anyway, that story's on the anti-media if you want to check it out. We got a few more to talk about, and then me and Manny got some stuff to talk about that we're going to be checking out tomorrow. Claire, another great article, and you've had a bunch of good articles this week. Well, every week, but this week in particular.
Ooh, Claire's kicking ass.
And woo, this one is on topic with what we were just talking about. The title of the article came out yesterday. ISIS just proved it has nothing to do with Islam, and it's a pretty provocative title, which I kind of came up with it. Claire approved it, but very, very good article, and it fortunately caught a lot of traction. A lot of people were reading it, and it was resonating with a lot of people.
Not so much.
Well, there was a lot of haters too, but you know, when it gets this many shares, you know it was resonating. But it talks about how ISIS, during the holy month of Ramadan, which is basically a period of celebration and peacefulness within the Islamic religion, mm-hmm. ISIS is going around the world blowing shit up and killing people and all over the place. And you know, this is not very Muslim-like at all. In fact, they bombed the burial place of Muhammad. I mean, how much more un-Islamic do you need to get before people stop blaming Muslims for the existence of ISIS? Claire, tell us a little bit about this article.
Yeah, Daesh really wanted to kind of effect a bunch of terror during Ramadan, and that is exactly what they did. I mean, there are just so many attacks that happened in the period of 1 month. And, you know, the vast majority of the victims were actually Muslim. So, I don't know. I get really tired of the stereotype saying, I mean, it's like, yes, they do use Islamic in the name Islamic State, but it is just such a farce. It's a manipulation and propaganda of the religion of Islam. It's a perversion. It's not what the religion is about. And people don't understand that. For some reason, the public just doesn't, and you know, it's really governmental propaganda for one thing. The public just is not able to discern the difference somehow. But if they were true, you know, I don't know, what do you want to call them, soldiers of Islam or something, they would not be violent in the first place, and they certainly would not be affecting a bunch of violence during one of the holiest months in the entire calendar of the religion. It doesn't make any sense.
And 99% of their victims are Muslim. They're killing Muslims.
Exactly.
Almost all of their victims are Muslim, and you know, no one wants to talk about that. But you know, let's be honest about what ISIS really is. And ISIS is very similar to what Bin Laden was back when we were dealing with the Soviets in Afghanistan. ISIS is a out of control project that started off with U.S. and Sunni backing. You know, Saudi Arabia, Qatar, the Gulf states. They were using ISIS as a power to create instability in what are called like the national the secular national dictatorships of the Middle East, which would be like
particularly Syria. The whole idea with the U.S. was they wanted to overthrow Assad. That's been the goal for a very long time. And in doing so, the documents prove that the U.S. saw the possible coming of an Islamic caliphate. And what do you know? Here's ISIS. I mean, this is a creation of U.S. government meddling in the Middle East where it doesn't belong.
Exactly. And not only U.S. either. And so two of the countries that are really starting to feel the blowback here, because, you know, it's something that people just, they don't learn their history, and so they keep making the same mistakes. Now, the U.S. is what created Bin Laden, and obviously Bin Laden went on to become, you know, to create Al-Qaeda. And then it, you know, Al-Qaeda went on to have blowback, and they gave the U.S., you know, some would call it a problem, some would call it an excuse to go and do actions over there. But Turkey and Saudi Arabia were both very instrumental in the creation and support of ISIS. And, you know, everyone knows that all the fighters that go and join ISIS come through Turkey, and they easily cross the border into Syria, and they join ISIS because Turkey wants to get rid of Assad as well. And Saudi Arabia has long been an enemy of Assad, and they've been wanting to get rid of him. And so, you know, the Saudis have been supporting ISIS to try to get rid of Assad. But now two of the latest bombings, that big one in Turkey at the airport, you know, that one was really bad. And then, you know, the bombing of the Muhammad's holy site, his burial site in Saudi Arabia. So, you know, ISIS may have first been created and was used as a tool for these countries or these interest groups to try to create their geopolitical scenario in the Middle East. But now everybody's lost control of ISIS, and now they're bombing the countries that were actually supporting them too. And so this is just another lesson that people and voters and people that, you know, people out there that are subjects of these countries need to learn that your governments keep on making these huge mistakes geopolitically, and it comes back and it hurts you. They bomb you. They shoot you. They take away your rights when ISIS blows stuff up. They spy on you when ISIS blows stuff. You know, like when terrorists threat, they take away your freedoms and your liberties. They do surveillance on you. You know.
Yeah, but it's important to note there too that they want. By doing that, ISIS actually wants people to be angry at the religion of Islam, because when people who are not Islamic are angry at the religion, then it creates a bunch of fear and bigotry and prejudice, and it creates that can radicalize people, and that's how they get their followers.
Exactly.
It's this ignorant, you know, propagation of this big lie that gives them all the following they need.
Islamophobia does not protect you from ISIS. Islamophobia makes you more, you know, it makes
contribute.
You safe from ISIS, actually. You know?
It makes you contribute.
Exactly.
Yeah. Listen, if there was really another crusade, a modern crusade, where they had a 1.1 billion people all in concerted effort against the rest of the world, they'd win. So it's not real. It's manufactured.
Exactly.
Claire, great article. And, you know, just the month of Ramadan, it's very sacred to Muslims, and it's a time of peace and fasting and reflection and a lot of things, and it's not about violence. If ISIS was some kind of Islamic army, it would be observing Ramadan. It wouldn't be bombing the burial place of Muhammad. It wouldn't be killing other Muslims. I mean, according to the Quran, it's you're not supposed to kill anybody, let alone
killing one person is like killing all of humanity.
Exactly, you know. And so these guys, just like, I mean, it would be like calling the KKK Christians. You know, these aren't Christian people. These are people that have perverted something and used that emotional kind of appeal to attract people to do stupid things, and that's what ISIS is. And unfortunately, they get support from international actors because they serve a geopolitical interest. ISIS is just a tool of bigger players, and they're just being used as pawns. And a bunch of innocent Muslims are dying in the wake of it. So, you know, anybody listening tonight, don't be afraid of Muslims. Embrace your Muslim friends and neighbors, because that's the way to beat ISIS. The way to lose to ISIS is by blaming Muslims or looking at Muslims as if they're dangerous or as if they're something bad or something. That's how we lose. Anyway, great article. Moving on. What else are we going to talk about tonight? Manny, let's talk about what's going on with these...
International news. Now.
Yeah, let's talk about what's going on with these deported veterans. We're going to be down there in Mexico tomorrow taking interviewing these guys and attending their press conference. But these are guys that joined up the U.S. military. They were residents here in the United States that are from like other countries. They weren't citizens, but you know the U.S. has a program where if you join the military, whether if you're a national from like another country, then it you know you, it basically guarantees you citizenship. Correct. And a lot of these guys kind of joined up the military under that assumption. And a lot of these guys are older guys that fought in Vietnam. A lot of them were in Iraq and Afghanistan and other places and other wars. Some of them, even the older ones, were in like Korean War and everything. But they came home and the military kind of just cut them off and they didn't follow through on their promises. I guess not a huge surprise. If you look at the way the VA treats a lot of these veterans now, it's not exactly a huge surprise that these guys got screwed over. But, you know, a lot of these guys come home from Vietnam. They've got PTSD. They've got, you know, trauma issues. They wind up having drug issues, alcohol issues. They get into a run-in with the law, and the government says, "Oh shit, we're deporting you. We're just going to kick you out of the country, and we're going to leave you on your ass." And that's all there is to it. This is what's happened to a bunch of guys, and their home base is here in Tijuana, which is you know just a couple minutes drive down from the studio here.
You and I have been there together.
Yeah, we've been there once, and we checked it out. We had the guy that Hector. We had him on the radio show once. But tomorrow, they're going to have a big announcement. We're going to be going down there for that. Tell us a little bit about what's going on down there.
Well, tomorrow we'll have a press conference right at noon, but we got to be there at 11 so that we could kind of see what's going on and everything. And these deported veterans were promised citizenship after they left. The problem is that the government never put it on paper. And these veterans thought, well, the government's good for it. We don't need it on paper.
They trusted the government.
Exactly. They trusted their word. Big mistake and stuff like that. So we're going to have 10 veterans basically turn themselves in on Friday at 2 o'clock. They're going to go to the San Ysidro-Tijuana border and turn themselves in on medical asylum, I should say. And then there's going to be one of the Dreamers moms. The Dreamers moms are women that were deported and their kids were born in the United States.
So they have their children are U.S. citizens, but the mothers aren't. The mothers were deported.
Correct. And so they're going to turn themselves in to basically on the asylum of domestic violence. Because if you can prove domestic violence and it's on record that you call the authorities or the law, whatever you want to call them, I call them thugs now. It's basically you are, you know, requesting asylum on that, you know, because now the new law says that you have a chance to get a U visa. A U visa is only for domestic violence, basically parents, you know, they were and stuff like that. Now, DAPA and DACA were supposed to be passing this year, but there was a big problem in the Supreme Court, and it comes down to that the other judge was not appointed to break the tie. So there was a tie in the Supreme Court for the first time here, 4-4. And so we needed a tiebreaker. Well, there's no tiebreaker, so nothing happened, you know, because obviously there's not another Supreme Court justice there and stuff like that. So the government here in the United States, hope you guys don't get shocked, lied to these veterans. And so now they're in different origins of the world. And the ones we're going to go see are the ones that were deported to Mexico and happened to be in Tijuana. And they're going to be turning themselves in on Friday, and the press conference is tomorrow. and they'll be having you know, different organizations visiting tomorrow, and Nick and I will be there, like the ACLU will be there and stuff like that, and they're having a barbecue. Well, I'm vegetarian, so maybe Nick will be okay with it, but I'm not. But it's okay.
We'll get you some veggie hot dogs or something.
We'll get veggie
Just soy dog, gluten-free bun. You're good. You're good.
And so that's what the deal is, you know. And so I hope you guys don't trust your government at all, because that's what happened to these veterans.
Dude, we totally trust them 100%. It's obvious.
I trusted the FBI to prosecute Clinton, man, and I was proved wrong. No, I'm just kidding. I never once thought that that was actually going to happen. So yeah, a really sad situation. Some of these guys were conscripted too. They were drafted too, and man, it's not a good situation. Like I said, a lot of these guys are older. They're suffering from health issues,
PTSD.
You know, PTSD and other issues as well, health issues, man. And they're kind of left out to dry, man. And a lot of these guys are pretty much homeless in Tijuana. Not a good place to be homeless. Really, really rough city, really violent place, drug cartels and turf wars and gangs and drug, man.
The roughest border in Mexico.
It's one of the roughest cities in the world, man, I'll tell you that. You know, they're all living down there. They call it the bunker. They got like a home for all these guys. A lot of them live there and stuff, and it's like a little communal type of thing. And they take care of each other, and, you know, people help them out, donate to them and stuff. But the group's called the Deported Veterans of America, right?
Deported Veterans, based in Tijuana. And then we have the Dreamers Moms, USA Tijuana.
Yeah, so you can look that up, and they have like donation pages if you want to support them and stuff. We're going to be down there tomorrow, so hopefully I'll have some news from down there about
Can you take pictures of the bunker? It sounds like it's pretty safe.
Yeah, I'll take some pictures. It's like a big concrete building. I'll take some pictures of it and send it over to you guys, but we'll be down there tomorrow to see what's going on. Hopefully these guys they've been fighting this for a while, try to get their citizenship, and you know, they put their lives on the line. You know, these guys fought in Vietnam and stuff, and a lot of them are like disabled, and they really, there's not much they could do. You know, they need help, and the you know, they were promised a certain benefits. They were promised to be, you know, health to be taken care of. They were promised some kind of, you know, at something, you know, citizenship at the least. And they were screwed out of it because the government just didn't feel like dealing with them anymore after they were done using them to fight in their wars and stuff. And so hopefully we can get some accountability for these guys.
Exactly. And one of the things I will say, the only candidate to ever gone to what they call Friendship Park down there by Imperial Beach in San Diego County in Tijuana has been Bernie Sanders. He actually talked to the director of the bunker, and he's an airborne ranger, Hector Barajas. And so that was kind of very moving, because no candidate has ever gone even to that part of the border, and Bernie Sanders did. So I appreciate that.
Well, I mean, now you got Clinton, who will come in, and she'll promise to create a bunch of more wounded veterans. I mean, she's not going to help anybody. She's going to just create more and more veterans, and then and Trump will just go promise to build a wall around them so they can't get in. You know, so at least Sanders, the one guy, and I wasn't a fan of Sanders, but I wasn't a big fan of Sanders at all. But the only guy with any kind of rationality in the race, he's now gone.
Yeah.
And he was booed. Like I read reports today that he was booed by the House Democrats because he failed to completely endorse Hillary Clinton, even though he already said he'd vote for to beat Donald Trump, which I thought that was a horrible thing to say too. But
yeah.
he was booed by the House Democrats because he didn't want.
He's in a real shit house place because he's a super delegate himself. So if anything he does against the party, it'll strip him of that, and then he can't affect change in the party. And I guess if they push him into a corner, he'll just split. I really hope. I mean, we're going to go to the DNC in like 2.5 weeks, so hopefully there'll be that split. That's what we're hoping for.
Well, that's what's – you know, if the Democratic Party doesn't split right now, Hillary Clinton is probably going to win, man, because they're trying to siphon a bunch of the votes from the conservative end of the spectrum over to Gary Johnson. And I think Gary Johnson is a much better candidate than Trump or Clinton. And he's running in the Libertarian Party. And I don't – he's far from perfect, but he's much better than Trump, and he's much better than Clinton. But this election, I mean, he could play, you know, he could be the guy that splits the vote for Trump partially. and hands the election to Clinton. Now, the Democrats need to split the vote, too, so that there could be some kind of, like, four-way race between Gary Johnson, Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton, and maybe Jill Stein and Bernie Sanders or something. But I think it's a very – the odds are very low for that to happen. But if it did, that would make things a lot more interesting because Clinton and Trump are so unpopular. It's almost, you can almost taste it. I mean, people everywhere, everyone that I've talked to is just like, oh my God, they're holding their nose when they talk about it. I mean, nobody likes these candidates outside of like my grandma likes Hillary Clinton. I know a few, Trump supporters in real life, but I mean, the majority of people that I know are just like, no, man, no, we do not. Like, what was that poll? Claire, I think you covered it. The giant meteor is actually resonating with people now. What is he at, like 15% or something?
Yeah, it's like 12%. I mean, D's Nuts, at the height of D's Nuts popularity, was 9%. So giant meteor is actually doing fairly well.
They should run on the same ticket.
There you go.
I hear Giant Meteor released its platform as well, and it was a lot of really compelling points about scorched earth policy and stuff like that.
a Meteor Nuts ticket? That'd be pretty good.
I'd vote for that.
Hey,
I would vote for that. That is actually a platform. I would vote for that ticket.
The slogan is "Meteor Nuts." We're not Trump's small penis.
Oh man, jeez, dude, it's you know, that's the only.
It is that bad, Nick.
Yeah, that's the only thing that'll save us from this election is laughing about it because it's become such a joke.
It really has.
And you know what? I'm glad that we've been calling this shit a farce here on the anti-media for a long time because you know, and as much as I you know, like I said, Bernie Sanders had the most common sense out of the bunch of these idiots up there. And for that, it was hopeful that he was gaining so much momentum, man. He was getting like, what, 45% of the popular vote or something like that at one point. He wound up with a lot of votes. And that is encouraging because at least those people aren't buying into this Clinton-Trump nonsense.
Yeah.
Even though I think, you know, Sanders is a big government guy, you know, gun control and, you know, the whole nine yards when it comes to that agenda and stuff, which, you know, I can see people making that argument. I don't believe in it myself, but I can understand why people would have that argument. But, you know, it was encouraging to see Bernie Sanders resonate with so many people and really give Hillary a run for her money. But in the end, it was just overwhelming power that Hillary Clinton has. I mean, look at her. She made the FBI guy, like, look like a scared little puppy dog.
Yeah.
When he was making that announcement, I mean, the guy was biting his tongue the whole time. I mean, he really did want to indict her. I believe that. I really think he did, but he just couldn't. You could just kind of see it on him. I don't know what it was, but you could see it. But she's got this overwhelming political power, and I don't know if it's because she knows so many secrets or she's probably got so much dirt on so many people that like they just literally can't do anything bad to her because then she could bring the whole house of cards down herself. You know, maybe that's the root of her power, or I don't know what it is. Maybe she's a reptile. I'm just kidding. But you know, it's going to be interesting. I hope that something happens. Like DB said, man, I really hope that the Democratic Party splits in half and there's like a new progressive party, or maybe they fold into the Green Party or something, man, because the status quo of the Democratic Party, judging by what Obama's gotten away with, I mean, they're worse than the neocons now because at least everyone knows what the neocons are. The Democrats still get away with everything. And that's even worse because I'd rather have an enemy who I know is my enemy than have someone pretend to be my friend and actually be my enemy. And that's what the Democratic Party really is. And so the Democratic Party, I think, is the greatest problem facing the United States. I think everyone already knows what the Republican Party is. Their like popularity is like really low compared to the Democrats. And so that's where we can
do the stereo. Yo, here we go. Go through the stereo. Stereo.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and I am the host of Anti-Media.